I grew up in Bedfordshire, and I came to classical music, I think, sort of quite late. I started playing the trumpet at sort of 14, and within about 3 years or so, I got to grade eight. My first performing experiences were in a choir run by Michael Baxter, who sadly passed away a few years ago, a phenomenal, you know, musician and music teacher at St. Thomas More in Bedford. A little bit later, I ended up playing in sort of youth orchestras and concert bands and brass bands and singing in youth opera. And shortly after I started playing the trumpet, I took up the piano. It's funny, singing, you know, in those choirs, you know, my very first sort of interaction with performing music, I had, you know, a profound, transformative experience singing in those school choirs. And I knew at that point I wanted to be a musician. I wanted to immerse myself in that sort of magical experience as often as possible. Within a few weeks of taking up the trumpet, I wrote my first piece, which was a duet for French horn and trumpet. It wasn't very good. I think it was a theme and variations based on the German tune. I think that was what it was called. Sort of one of those kind of simple melodies that, you know, often appear in this sort of early instrumental, like brass books, you know. And I remember my mum got me a tape from the local jumble sale, and it was like a green and white tape, which I still have, called, had the unfortunate name of being called An Evening with Tchaikovsky. The tape had, I think, parts of Tchaikovsky Fifth Symphony and part of Tchaikovsky 6. I spent hours in my room conducting it. So by the time I was 15, I could conduct symphonies 1 to 6 in my room and the Manfred Symphony from memory. I think it's sort of important, reflecting on some of those formative experiences. It's, interesting looking at like some of the challenges faced by music education today. I'm a minority, I'm from a working class background, etc., etc. And I feel genuinely fortunate to have had those opportunities. And I know that today, in certain parts of the country, that isn't always the case. I think that a point that was raised during my documentary, which was raised by, I think, composer Daniel Kidane and Chichi Wanoku, was the intersect between BME representation and class. They are two different things, but there is an overlap. Having sort of had all of those experiences, I know how important it is for us to ensure that, you know, future generations benefit from those same opportunities. And it's important, like, not just because it's a nice thing to do, it's I think important for the future of the industry. I think one of the things that interests me is drawing from outside of classical music. So drawing from whether it's the African diaspora or popular music forms, you know, or traditions outside of sort of Western classical music, and, you know, bringing that in and making a musical cocktail. I think that probably comes from thinking of myself as a sort of a bit of a cultural Sex on the Beach or mojito. I think I'm sort of at my most authentic when I'm able to do that. I often sort of describe it as like putting things together that don't necessarily belong together. I think sort of even as I say that, you know, reflecting on, you know, my own cultural identity. That's a sort of somewhat unfortunate choice of words. But I do think that when you are of dual heritage, you certainly I feel as if I'm sort of like an embodiment of all of those things. And so I'm sort of keen that is reflected in, you know, some of the music that I write. But I also think it's sort of more about, you know, tapping into that kind of childlike mindset. As a kid, I used to cut out pictures of, you know, people, of models from, you know, my mum's catalogue, and sort of make them interact with, you know, characters from magazines or comic books, or, you know, characters that I'd drawn, and I'd sort of stick them all together on a page and, you know, create these kind of sort of collages. I don't think I've stopped doing that. Last year I wrote a piece for the Hindustani vocalist Shruti Jauhari, and a new music ensemble, because I wanted to see how those two different traditions would interact. And the year before that, I wrote music for a theatre production of Euripides' Bacchae in ancient Greek. And so I wanted to see what would happen if I got the actors to rap in ancient Greek, if there could be some sort of integration between, I don't know, some hip-hop element. It's not always about fusing of cultural musical traditions, but that sort of, like, I don't know, Heston Blumenthal practice of combining ingredients which at first seem quite different, and being faced with the challenge of sort of finding ways to get them to complement each other. Do I like having my music performed? No. Like the actual performance itself, no. Particularly if it's a first performance. Whenever people ask me this, they're always surprised, I think, by my answer, because the assumption is, you know, that the performance itself sort of represents the apex of the whole process. And, you know, certainly composing sometimes does feel like climbing a mountain. So you sort of understand, you know, why people might feel that way or think that. But for me, it's never really been the case. The high point for me is usually the moment during